out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 31st of July, 2019. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, it's Wednesday. That means we have revisionist historian Carolyn Yeager with us from carolynyeager.net. Carolyn, how are you doing today?
I'm doing real well, Sven. Thank you.
Excellent. And just before we get into it, I'll just say we do record this podcast actually on Tuesday. So the Democratic debates haven't actually taken place yet. And I know you wanted to talk about the build up to that today and a little bit about Meghan Markle and a little about the Trump's tweet storms. So we've got really a lot of American news today to get into. Which one did you want to start with, Carolyn?
Well, I think we start with we'll start with two of them, actually. The debate's coming up. And President Trump's tweet storm and tweet fight with this congressman, Elijah Cummings. Now, I don't know how the audience, how many are American and U.S. citizens or how many are European and don't pay that much attention. But this subject of race has come up so strongly. And I think that's good because I think, it's something we want to talk about, not just here, but I mean, it should be a question in the USA, of course, everywhere in Europe too, but it should be particularly here with blacks, because we have so many blacks who are supposedly from the slave trade, back when. And so they've got all these grievances from that. But, that's a huge thing going on that we can't talk about, because you can't talk honestly about race anywhere. But, let's just say in this country that I'm in. And so I think it's great that Trump has come out and said these things, and he's getting all this criticism. Even from conservatives and Republicans, although the Republican politicians, I will say, in Congress and so on, have stayed quiet, and that's smart. They should. But who knows? Of course. So then that ties in with these debates, because they're going to have to. This subject's going to come up, race and the feud with these blacks and the Democrats, because they're Democrats. Elijah Cummings is a Democrat. And so let me go through that, real quick. This Elijah Cummings is a 13-term congressman. That means he's been in Congress for 26 years and he just keeps being reelected because he's from a Maryland's 7th congressional district, which is comprised of half of Baltimore City, most of the majority black precincts of Baltimore County and Howard County. So his district is well over 50% black. And so they just keep reelecting him, which is what happens in these cities. Why they're all going to hell? Why else are they going to hell? Because they're run by black politicians who are not only corrupt, but they're incompetent. But that is never, is not okay to say. And we all know why. I don't have to go through that. But now Trump doesn't really want to say that either. But he does say it. He does say it. In fact, he is saying that Baltimore and Cummings is not doing the job they should. He's not using the word incompetence, but, you know, after all the time he's been there, and it just goes down, down, down. And really, Baltimore is terrible, is in terrible shape. And it's in a beautiful state, Maryland, and used to be a beautiful city. And all of these cities like Detroit and even Atlanta and have these, you know, very nice central sections, and a lot of rich people live there. But mostly, especially Detroit and Baltimore, are pretty much dumps now in most of it. And that's been done because all these blacks went there and they got a majority. And so then they elected black politicians, and it's just gone to hell from there. And it's just like in Africa. Well, you know, why is Africa the way it is? Because it's black people who are running it. And these facts are not allowed in our politically correct environment. But now here you have Donald Trump saying Baltimore's a dump, just like he said a couple years ago. These foreign countries, he was really speaking in terms of basically African nations, are shitholes. He used that word. He used that word in a way they're still bringing that up. So Elijah Cummings has been, he's the head because he's been in there so long, in Congress so long. He's now chairman of this very important oversight committee. And he's now coming out along with the other two chairmen, you know, the Jewish guys, Nadler and Schiff, coming out in this Trump attack and Republican attack on Republicans based on this Russian investigation and so on. And also what's going on at the southern border, trying to make out that Trump is a fascist you know, we should just treat these people so much better who are breaking into the country and trying to make it worse and more like what these people have made it. So, you know, and Trump is speaking up against it and saying that they're, you know, that pointing out that Baltimore is a dump, rat infested, and it's worse than anything you could imagine, really, for miles and miles of that city. Which used to be so great.
And one of the things one of the things that's really got me about this is I don't see what's racist about what he said. He's been accused of being racist for saying, well, it's rat infested, it's rodent infested, and it's down to the governor. Now, most people would think, wonderful, the president has pointed out what a state our area is in. Now maybe they're going to do something about it.
Now here, this is interesting, Sven, because of course, naturally, party politics, they all are attacking Trump's, and this all just happened in one or two days here. So, but now this morning, Trump is saying that he's getting all these calls from residents of Detroit, both black and not black, and thanking him for speaking up and agreeing with him and all of that. And of course, an awful lot of people do, and a lot of black people do, because they're suffering from this. But this is all so we can say, well, you know, it's good that he's saying this. But the thing that I want to point out is that that's not really the solution we need, because so they say, well, let's go put a lot of money. Let's spend a lot of money on Baltimore. It's already been done, you know, many times. So here's the thing. Black people and these African-Americans, which is mostly most American blacks, although that's changing a little bit, where more and more come from directly from, well, they are African-American, but they're not from the slavery time. That's the difference. But these blacks, they're the reason that all this deterioration goes on, and spending more money doesn't help it at all. And this is the racial reality that we know, that it's about IQ difference, and IQ is just the most important element in how civilized and well and responsible people can be about things, we need to talk honestly about race and what so many call race reality. But I don't think Trump is prepared to do that. And this is why people, you know, they want to bash him. Because now I wrote this post on my site because it just moved me so much yesterday. I said, I got to stand up for Trump, you know, because he deserves it. He should be stood behind. But so many racially aware whites and white nationalist types want to just bash Trump all the time because he doesn't do everything perfect. Well, he's not perfect. He's who he is. He's what he is. He has his background, his own thoughts and everything. But what he does do is not, is to, I think, more than any president has ever done. What president in recent times, you know, the last or well, since World War II or something, has ever stood up in this way, even to this degree? They don't. They're afraid to open their mouth about things. Everything has to be, you know, so that's we're in this denial. And Trump gives us the opportunity to start the conversation and say a lot of true things. But the, of course, the media is goes into horrors. And oh, God, they got to shut it down, shut it down. So, well, to just put this into a little bigger perspective, you know, I think that in those debates tonight and tomorrow night, they're going to have, this is going to come up, and they're going to have to say something about it. But all they'll do is condemn President Trump for his statements and stand behind, you know, these black congressmen and so on. Because Al Sharpton, who probably most everybody knows, got in on it. So we have Cummings, and then we have Al Sharpton, who was also black. And so Trump calls him a con man now. And they have a history. And he's known, he's been friendly with Al Sharpton all in the past. And but now, you know, they're at each other's throat. But that's just, they would still work together. But, you know, this is just what these people have to do. So what I say is we should try to push, just keep this race question going and push it as far as we can push it in bringing out the truth about why. Look at why is Baltimore in the shape it's in? If we can't admit that all these cities have been destroyed because of because they got to be a majority blacks living there, and then they elected their black politicians, and then they've become like African places in Africa, and that's as third world as you can get. So if that's the fact, and we can't admit that, and yet it's obvious. So I think this is what we should be talking about, and be grateful to Trump for making an opening here. He's not going to be able to do it all by himself. You know, he has to be reelected, and he really is not racist. I am racist. I am racist because I believe in that race differences are very basic and can't be overcome. Although a lot of black people can learn to function well in white-run societies and, you know, seem to be pretty equal. But if they are left on their own, like they do in these, when they have the control, then they can't. So I am racist. And I think, you know, that this, the idea that has come over every country, everywhere in the world, at least in the Western world, that we care about is that racism is bad, is basically destructive for us, and we shouldn't give in to that. And we have to fight that right at the base of it, that it's wrong, as you actually were pointing out, I think, that to make racial differences an evil thing to talk about because it's going to lead to another Holocaust, right? You know, so that brings that in again, all these corrections to history we need to make. But So if you want to comment on that before I go on to Meghan Markle, I'd like to have bring that in a little bit.
Yeah. I think that's the beauty of what he's doing, really. I mean, he's not actually saying anything racist. He's pointing out that that place, Baltimore, is in a really bad state. And then he's been accused of being racist. And everyone can see that what he has said is a fact. And yet he's accused of being racist for saying that fact. So it causes people to question in their mind just what this word racist actually means. And in the instances that it's been used today, it's been used purely to get people to stop talking about something. They don't want Trump to bring these things up, so they will call him racist for doing so. And I think all around the Western world, this word racist is losing the power that it once had because it's being overused in so many instances like this. And I think Trump's doing it deliberately. At the same time, he's being friendly to the blacks.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, at the same time, he's being, you know, very friendly with the blacks, with this Aesop Rocky person, ASAP Rocky in Sweden, and he's standing up for him. So I think a lot of blacks think Trump is standing up for us, and then you've got the crazy Democrats who are all accusing him of being a racist. I think it's very clever what he's doing at the moment.
Yes, but that leaves in place the idea that racism is wrong. And even what you're saying, Sven, is underlying that, is that, he's not racist and we wouldn't be racist and the blacks are seeing through this. And that's one approach. It might work, but it's very similar to what's been done with the word Nazi and everybody's being called a Nazi, so it's losing its power, but it's still a bad thing. It's still a bad thing. It's you know, Nazis were bad, and racism is still a bad thing. We shouldn't be racist. We're, you know, I'm sorry, but I think that's the denial, and that if we're not more, if we don't take race and what it teaches us seriously, that's what's doing us in. That's what's doing us in. So I'll just read here what I've written, what I typed out here, my ideas about this, real just a couple sentences, that it all went wrong. Talking about, you know, how we got to where we are, which everybody is bemoaning the situation that whites are in now. And it all went wrong when whites agreed that racism, in quotes, was wrong. Separation of the races is not wrong. But we agreed that separate but equal is not the equivalent of equal. Now, this goes back to the U.S. Decision on integration of schools that, you know, they were claiming that the schools in the South that were segregated were separate but equal. But then it convinced everyone that they weren't equal, that separate is can't be equal. I mean, and that admits that races are not equal, because if blacks and whites were equally intelligent, law-abiding, and well-behaved, their schools would be equally good. So if you're saying that black schools can't be equal to white schools because of some kind of inherent discrimination that blacks have suffered and so on, and lack of opportunity, blah, blah, particularly after all these years, then that what you're saying is blacks are not equal to whites, because if they were, then their schools would be able to function as well as white schools would, and their kids would be able to do as well if they had, you know, teachers, even if they're black teachers, they're equally good. But obviously, that doesn't even work. It doesn't work. But this is such a deep change to be made. So, but I always do this. I always have to go to the heart of the matter. And this is what I have to end up with, is that this is where we went wrong when we agreed that racism was wrong. And then also when we agreed that Nazism was wrong, when we accepted, you know, as a Western powers or whatever, that, Nazism was bad. Hitler was evil. And so we're going to leave. We can't progress because of that. And so, in my opinion, so that's that. Well, now here, this Meghan Markle, she didn't bother me much, but now She's had this baby, and you know, of course, they write all this silly stuff about the royal family. But I actually think well of William and Kate, and think they do a very good job of representing the royals. And of course, you know, he's going to be king, so you know that he's in the line, so he has to. But I don't think much of Harry. And now Meghan is just going to start exercising her power, I think, more and more, and her independence, because now she's got a baby, and that gives her more power because she's got one of these royal kids. And so it turns out that, of course, she's hardcore left, Meghan Markle is. She doesn't give an inch. She hates Donald Trump and everything he stands for. And so the black part of her comes out more powerfully than the white part, as it always does in mixed race people. You know, I asked that question too. Why is it that they always identify with their dark part, with their colored part, more than with their white part? But way back in the past, mixed race people tried to identify as white if they could pass. So that might be just that shows us that being a person of color now gives you more prestige and more opportunity than does being a white person. So we've already become, you know, second class citizens in that respect. So I came upon this story about Meghan Markle and Vogue, that she is editing this September Vogue issue. And it's featuring Michelle Obama, her interview, Markle's interview with Michelle Obama. And the theme for the magazine is Forces for Change. These women, there's a bunch of women on the cover who all mixed up, and they're, of course, supposed to represent change. And it brings to mind the campaign slogan for Barack Obama was change, you know, and that's what he ran on when he was running for president. I think hope and change and stuff, but you know, really, we're going to change things. This is a big change. Of course, being the first black president would be that, and of course he's half and half, but he's considered black anyway, you know, and she's very, very black. And so, and they just won't drop her. So now, it turns out just kind of sickening, you know, Meghan revealed in this write-up about it on Yahoo that, she came up with the idea of being the issue's guest editor herself. And while she was pregnant and, even since, but during the time she was pregnant, she was asked by the British Vogue editor-in-chief to be on the cover. And she thought about it and knew right away she wanted to do more than be on the cover. She wanted to, she thought she'd like to edit that magazine rather than be on the cover. And the editor-in-chief of British Vogue is this black man named Edward Enninful. He didn't look anything like you'd expect a Vogue editor to look like, but there he is, and there's a picture. Oh, I'm going to send it to you. I don't know if you want to use it or not, but of the two, of Meghan and this Edward Enninful together. And, you know, so typical of the way they write this kind of thing. And they, in this interview, Meghan Markle is quoted as saying, "So I asked the question of this Edward Enninful. Actually, I typed and deleted the question several times until I built up the courage to ask the question. Quote, Edward, instead of doing the cover, would you be open to me guest editing your September issue? And then what evolved over the next hour, over a steaming cup of mint tea, we teased through how one can shine light in a world filled with seemingly daily darkness." You know, in Vogue, they're going to shine light on this. And, you know, I thought that was why does she think the world is filled with darkness? Because it's not all run by liberals like herself and people of color. That's why. So there she is now, in charge of this one issue. I guess it's pretty much done, and she's so proud of it. And this is the future of Meghan Markle. She's going to get involved in all these liberal things and with all her celebrity friends. And then Harry, I really don't like Harry. And he's just as bad. And he's in the magazine. I'm going to finish this up real quick. He's in the magazine doing an interview with Jane Goodall. You know that, what is she? She's an ape.
Oh, the chimp woman.
Monkey specialist.
Yeah, yeah. Monkey woman, yeah.
Yeah, right. And so that's fitting. So in this article, there's a little bit I got from that. Of course, this magazine hasn't come out yet, but and he discussed why he and Meghan plan to have only one more baby at most. It seems to be due to climate change. I don't know. And they never really said. But Harry described racism as an unconscious bias for some. And this ties in with my theme of racism. Harry says, despite the fact that if you go up to home to someone and say, what you just said or the way you've behaved is racist, they'll turn around. Now, why would you go up to somebody and say that? But he would. So he said, they'll turn around and say, I'm not a racist. And he says, I'm not saying you're a racist. I'm just saying that your unconscious bias is proving that because of the way that you've been brought up, the environment you've been brought up in suggests that you have this point of view, unconscious point of view, where naturally you will look at someone in a different way, like, or someone who's different from you, you'll look at it in a different way. And that is the point at which people start to have start to understand, is what he means to say. Now, that's Harry. So, he's just, and he can't get enough of black people. He visits them a lot and likes to be around them. And, of course, now he married one. And so this, but he's not that important. And there might still be hope for the royal family, since he's just a side issue. And the main threat of it is looking pretty good. But, he says his family plans came up when they spoke about climate change, so that's why I said maybe that's the reason they have determined to have two, so they wouldn't just have one, but that's all they're going to have. And of course, she's too old to go too much further along. If she's going to have another one, she's close to 40 now, and of course they do it, but so there you go.
I think that's hilarious that he's taken advice from Jane Goodall, the chimpanzee woman. I tell you, the press over here in Britain, they're furious at her. They're really, really mad at her for doing that, because they expect the royals to show pictures of themselves. And the royals are supposed to not have anything to say on anything political. And all
That's
she's
right.
done is be political. And they're not supposed to do that. It's part of our constitutional monarchy. They're not allowed to have anything to do with politics. And she's just trampling over all of that. And the press is turning on her. They're turning on her in a big way over here. It's good to see, because she shouldn't be doing it. She's just spitting in the face of tradition. And so is Harry. How he can marry somebody who's divorced when one of his ancestors abdicated rather than do that? He abdicated because he thought that would bring distaste or disgust upon the monarchy for him to be married to someone divorced. And Harry just doesn't even mention it. Just goes and marries somebody who's divorced as well as somebody who's mixed race. He's really spitting in the face of tradition.
Well, but they accept it, because times have changed. And I think, in a way, the royal family, whoever thinks for them and speaks for them and so on, but I think Elizabeth's pretty independent, but she very much will follow what's, makes Britain look good. But I think that they were quite okay with that, because it's so modern and brings, they can't be accused of being racist, which is, again, is the big crime of today, which, you know, is it's the greatest crime you can be involved in. And so they bring it on themselves, and now they're going to have to weep the whirlwind, which is, in a small way, what we're doing on a global scale. All of us, the whole white race, is reaping the whirlwind of these very bad decisions that we made, or that were made, that we've, you know, accepted, or mostly, you know, because I can remember all of it, and you didn't even know. There's no way to stop anything from happening and changing. There's just, it seemed like a little change, and you know, it's ended up after, you know, 60 years, 70 years, and more, you know, to be the whole thing, you know.
It's created this mess that we're in now.
The whole world changing, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. It's just a small collective decision on something, and then decades down the line, it's had huge, massive effects that weren't foreseen at the time. There were a few people that were speaking up about it, I guess, Madison Grant and some of these other racial scientists in the early part of the 20th century. But since then, it's all been forbidden, and we are the heretics for pointing out these taboos, and it's great that Trump is pointing it out. And to be honest, I mean, Meghan Markle is just showing her true colors, and again, it's going to help us, because people will see that, and they will realize that. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Karen. Thank you very much to listeners for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan.